Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for episode 2, season 5 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. With the season's officially underway after the first two matches in Las Vegas, which I thought were pretty good quality. How are you, first of all, and what do you think of the games?
I'm well, thanks, Brad. I actually really enjoyed the games. I thought, you know, it was definitely something different, but I was pleasantly surprised with the atmosphere that the games were able to get in a decent crowd. So, and I thought the quality of the games lived up to the occasion too. So, yep, I really enjoyed it, but I think I'm looking forward to Friday even more.
Yeah, definitely. So while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m, you also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was Rugby League, including our top stories of the week, a review of those Las Vegas matches. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as questions we've prepared for each other. We'll then preview the rest of round one and advise you all on our picks. Before ending the night with a recap of the Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well jump into it, Richie.
Yep, sounds good.
Not too much news. It's kind of all been taken over by the Las Vegas stuff, but we may as well talk about that first. The Vegas launch was deemed a success after over 40,000 fans turned up for the doubleheader. And there's been noise that several clubs were very interested in being included next year. So it's a bigger crowd than I thought it would be, obviously. But, yeah, I thought it was lively. As we'll talk about when we review the games are of a good enough quality to actually have people interested. A lot of those first-round games are a bit clunky. These ones didn't feel that way. But good to see that they did get some Yanks actually come out and watch, which was a big bonus. And Simon's come out and said the 40,000 numbers being disputed with the estimated around 20,000. So, yeah, it could be a bit of...
I thought it looked more than 20, though, surely. What did you think?
I thought
the crowd looked quite good. And it's a big stadium.
Yeah, it definitely looked more full than many of the Sydney ones when they have like 20, 30,000. But yeah, I'm not sure. I can only go by what the NRL have said, and we don't know if they fudged the books or not. And yeah, Simon said, despite that, he still thinks it's a good number no matter what. It's just the seating looks very deceptive. Yeah, I still think for the first time out with half Americans thinking that the All Blacks are a team in the NRL. I think it was a good step, the right way forward. I was reading some of the articles that American journalists were writing, and they really loved it. They didn't understand it, but they were explaining like how exciting it was to watch, and they couldn't get over think especially in that first game where there was a period of about 4 or 5 minutes where players were getting busted open, and they were getting taped up on the fly and Vaseline stuck in cuts and then going and running again, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. But I think it's a good start.
Mm. Look, it's always hard to tell what size of crowd is on TV, because quite often the cameras, or sometimes the cameras can be in the full stand, and so you don't actually see half the people. So it can be, it's very difficult to judge judge what the crowd's like and actually there, really, if you're trying to talk about numbers-wise.
It's true. I've been to a number of games at Westpac Stadium where they've closed off half the stadium and only have the cameras pointed at the stand that's open.
Yeah, and there was a comment Simon made about an American YouTuber watching it and said the issues, the weather may have reduced the numbers, because there was like a big desert wind that came through and the weather was really bad that day. So things like that. But and he does mention in there that the US channel the game was being played on kept moving, which doesn't make it very easy to watch when every couple of minutes they're changing the channel on you. But I think things like that will iron out. And I'm more hopeful for what this is going to be than I was when we talked about it last year. I was kind of expecting, 10,000 Australians, New Zealanders and UK guys going over and trying to fill a stadium and no Americans coming. It's a good start. We'll see what happens. Christopher's on and he said there was a lot of expats as well. And the peak viewership was 79,000, so very low. Is that, the peak viewership on the American? That is low, but I'd still be happy that 79,000 Americans attempted to watch it. Especially with the NBA and things like that still on. But, we'll see where it goes from here. There is talks. There was some news leaked out during the week, Richie, that the Panthers and Warriors were two teams that could possibly be going next year. I saw Jacko said he's not really a fan of it. He'd prefer the Warriors to stay home due to the amount of travel already. I kind of had the same sentiment. I think part of that, though, is also the fact that I probably couldn't afford to go to Las Vegas if it was there next year. So... if I can't go, I don't want the Warriors to go either.
There'd be a massive FOMO element there. But
I
kind of agree. We're probably one of the teams that do the most travel out of all of them. So, and we've got the best home day experience in the league right now. Bias, but I believe we do.
Yeah, and Simon's actually put a good point up about that American YouTuber saying that the NRL needs to reduce the price of the NRL Watch streaming service that they're pushing in the States, saying that it's $150 US to maybe $50. Yeah, I assume that's like $150 a season. That's, for a sport you're not really sure if you're going to like or not, that's a big investment. So, I think bringing it down would be... the right way to try to get people involved. I guess that's up to Mr. Valandis and co. Anything else you want to talk about that before we move on?
No, we can move.
Well, I guess my only thought is on this way is that maybe you do want to get in there because, your jersey sales might be pretty good if you get an American fan base. So hence, I can understand why some teams might want to get out there you're the first out there to build up that fan base.
We don't have that problem.
Guarantee if we go there.
Everyone loves more jerseys sold, don't they?
The Warriors especially.
We don't have enough to sell. We already know it. Imagine if the Americans get involved, we'll never be able to get any of our jerseys.
I guarantee if we went there, the NRL would make it a Warriors home game.
Well, that's probably, yes. But the other thing is, how long before the Warriors produced a Stars and Stripes or kind of Dukes and Hazzards, that flag, from the South kind of style jersey?
That might be a cool idea.
Yeah. wouldn't put it past them. But yeah, and before we move on from that, sorry, I actually Fox League actually came out and confirmed the matches were the highest ever viewed on their channel. So that was good. A lot of people were interested in watching. But yeah, we'll leave Las Vegas until we talk about the games and get on to, I guess this is partly Las Vegas, but Spencer Lenu has been accused of allegedly using a racist remark against Ezra Mann. And there were reports that the Broncos players confronted Lenu after the match back at the hotel both sides are staying at. I think probably next year they might look at separating where the players are staying for things like this. Yeah. But we can say the racist remark on here because it's not as bad as it's still bad, but it's alleged that he called Ezra Mann a monkey. As the white guy on the show, I'm going to sit back here and let you talk about it. So,
gee, thanks. yeah, I don't know how far down the road of investigating it they are. I know that the NRL is going to look at the footage and enhancing the audio to see if anything can be picked up. But yeah, it's not the best taste. And if it's proven that Spencer did say that, then it's probably worthy of a little bit of a ban. I'm not too sure what you'd throw at him in terms of that, but obviously some education might be handy as well, but you don't want it in the game.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more about it in the Naughty Boy corner, obviously. You can't say things like that. I know I've said worse on the field.
To me, probably, yeah.
And to you off it, yeah. But yeah, it's going to be interesting because from what they've said so far, it is on Tuesday, the judiciary, Tuesday next week for it. But from what they've said, they haven't been able to really get any audio of it being said. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the judiciary if they've got no evidence of it. But all this comments from the sidelines has already heaped a lot of pressure onto the situation where if they say, well, you've got no evidence on your way, son, will there be a backlash? Or will there be a backlash if he's punished with no evidence?
The thing is, yeah, you have to prove that he actually said it. I mean, it's at this point, it's only allegedly. So
yeah, you can't
give him punishment without any hard evidence.
I think the only thing going against him right now is he hasn't denied it, and he kind of admitted it straight after the game, saying it was just a bit of banter on the field, which doesn't really help your defense if you're out there already kind of admitting to it. But I'm sure we'll get to talk about it next Wednesday when a decision's been made. So we can move on for now. Andrew Abdo confirmed over this, all the press release and press media he was doing for Las Vegas. He's confirmed, I think we mentioned a little bit last week, Richie, but the NRL are interested in buying a stake in the Super League. Which I think's a good idea. The Super League's in all sorts of trouble. I think there was a news article out saying that Catalans, I think it's either starting this season or starting next season, we'll have to pay for the airfares for the teams that are coming to face them.
Not ideal.
Which isn't ideal if you're trying to keep a club afloat. So I think, yeah, depending on what type of involvement the NRL have, one thing they are good at is running a competition. So even if they could get in there and try to help the Super League survive, I guess, I'm not sure, but I'm sure that's going to be an ongoing story for the season. But you got any thoughts on the NRL trying to get a finger in the pie up in the UK?
I think if done right, then it could be good for both parties, you know, like you say. The Super League not exactly booming profit wise so if the NRL is in a position to make an investment and lend a hand there, then, you know, why not?
Yeah, and Simon said as well, the Catalan Dragons, it could actually kill them if they have to pay for their airfares. And Simon said, yeah, the individual clubs should pay for their own airfare through the TV money deal. That's how it is currently, that the team travelling is covering it. But, yeah, apparently, I don't know if it's the teams complained that they're losing all this money going to France or what, but...
Well, yeah, the Catalan Dragons have to pay for their own travel in the other direction, right? More often. So,
yeah.
Seems harsh not to pay for both ways.
Yeah. So, that would mean, yeah, they're paying to go to the UK for all those games and then paying for everyone to come to them. It just seems like a one way trip to, bankrupting a club, which, yeah, isn't good. And Simon said he's very skeptical what the NRL would be doing with buying the Super League. It's interesting. I know a few people that have been talking about doing it for years, saying they could almost outrightly buy the Super League with how low it is right now. But yeah, time will tell. We'll see what happens. And yeah, Jacko said France ain't that far from Northern England, is it? That we'll ask the POM. That's the reason we have him. Where is France?
Where is France? Look, it's not such distance. It's whether you've got direct flights or not, right? If you haven't got direct flights and you have to fly down to London and then fly again, then it all becomes very difficult. So I can imagine, yeah, quite some of these places don't have direct flights to where the Catalan Dragons are, and that'll be a problem because actually I don't know where Catalan Dragons are based, but. There aren't too many flights to Toulouse, for example. So it's that problem more than anything else. You're having to charter your own plane, or you're having to spend all day. You're doing it because you're having to transfer from somewhere else.
Yeah, Simon's said there that you like people from the UK camper van up there. So put them on a bus, cheapest chips. Just send them up there; it'll be fine. But yeah. We'll see what happens with the mess that is the Super League. So we'll move on. New South Wales have secured the 2024 Grand Final hosting rights for $10 million, rumoured. The Grand Final will be at a core stadium. I don't really know if it's news, Richie. Kind of feels like that's bar COVID. That's where it always is. So
pretty much. It didn't feel like news to me, but yeah. It's kind of just... always there, isn't it? Apart from we've had the one, like you say, COVID, Queensland, but
there's not a lot of news when all they're talking about is Spencer, so I had to find something, mate.
You did say it was a slow news day.
Yeah. Same old, same old. So, we can move on. There was some news that I heard recently today that the Dragons have apparently released Paul Turner from his contract effective immediately to give him a chance to join a club in the Super League. No official statement that I've seen before we jumped on tonight from the Dragons about it, but I feel for Paul Turner. It's kind of a fall from grace. You know, he was an up-and-comer when he was with the Warriors, had that pretty good debut, and then wasn't happy sitting on the bench, so demanded a release and has kind of chopped and changed with the Titans and the Dragons. Never really got his feet settled. Tough news for him, but I think as bad as Super League is, any Super League team would be better than playing for the Dragons anyway.
Yeah, just looking at the comments, hey Rob, Turner got impatient. Tend to agree. He got impatient and then asked for a release from us, and then it's bounced around a couple more clubs. But like you say, Brad, bit of a fall from grace. He had huge raps on him coming through, and it seemed like there was a period there where so many Warriors fans on social media were calling for him to get his chance, and he was going to be the next big thing. But it never really turned out.
Yeah. It's unfortunate for him, but yeah, sometimes with these kids, they're a bit impatient. They want to be starting straight away, and they don't remember that their career can go for a season or it can go for 10. Some of the young kids that toe the line and slowly build are big names now. because they did the hard yards first instead of, you know, going straight for the big payday. But yeah, like Jacko said, he can play a bit like Lola here. And yeah, he'll go up and be as successful in the Super League as Lola here is. You know, he Lolo crushes it up there. So,
but you,
yeah,
you kind of do need a little bit of patience in this, particularly in the position he plays. A lot of these, a lot of players coming through don't really hit their straps until, you know, a little further on down the track, age wise. Look at guys like Lachlan Ilias at the Rabbitohs. He's sort of, you know, got reps on him, but is kind of takes a back seat to the other big stars in the team. And you know, probably he'll look to develop into something more, but yeah, probably just Turner didn't really have that kind of you know, wanted it all there and then.
Yeah,
the flip side is you're only one injury away from the end of your career, right? So hence, yeah, I want to be earning some cash now, please, before I get injured during a training ground incident and I'm all over. So that's the flip side of it.
Yeah, I'd understand that if he was going for big values, but I think he was going for unders anyway. But yeah, I can see both sides. And Jacko said, hopefully Arthi Leotawa doesn't get impatient. I think with the way the Warriors are now, Jacko, we don't really seem to have a lot of that happening anymore. I think a lot of those guys, I can't speak for them, obviously, but I think a lot of them really like Webby and what he's doing. And can it, yeah, I think they know that when they get an opportunity, Webby's going to give it to them. And if they prove their self-belief and how good they are, right, he's not going to just quickly take it away. I think you look at Tane Tuapiki, you know, he came over here for a chance, was told basically you're second string. And then they announced Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. You know, as a young kid, immediately you might think, okay, well, my time's done here. Surely I'm not going to be the backup fullback when you've got a guy like Roger. And then Webster, you know, not only said it to him privately, but actually said it publicly as well, saying, no, he's our backup. So I think like that. But, yeah, like Jacko said, things can change fast. Who's to say, you know, a big team, you know, it's hard. You know, there's loyalty, but say like a Melbourne Storm or a Penrith Panthers knock on your door and say, we want you. That would be a hard thing to turn down. But I'm pretty sure Ali's kind of wrapped up for a bit. I think they extended him last year, if I'm not mistaken. But he'll be playing first grade for the Warriors before the season's done anyway, in my opinion. So that was all the news we had, Richie. So we can go into signings and injuries and whatnot. There was only really two signings that I picked up. The Storm extended Suafalongo to see him to stay with the Storm for at least the next 5 years, showing the confidence they have in him. Very young, very, very green, but has all the upside in the world. What do you reckon about the Storm locking him down long term?
I'm not surprised. I know they've got huge reps on him, as the most people. He's a pretty prodigious talent. Just hope we see it come to fruition at some point. I know Bellamy's good at bringing these kids through.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of people come through the Melbourne system, go on to be big stars. So I'm pretty sure we'll see that for Sua. And it's awesome for him to lock up his future for the next few years at Melbourne. It's a great system, and I think he'll go on to be a great player, having been in that system.
Definitely. And the Bulldogs signed Rabbitoh Daniels Luca Fifita immediately on a 2-year deal. Think it's a good move for both. The Bulldogs are desperate for middles, and I don't know if Daniel would have got a lot of game time at the Rabbits with what they've got right now. Is a player like him going to turn them into a premiership threat? I don't think so, but they need some more big men. Very happy to see him get a job with the Doggies. What do you reckon?
Yep. Like you said, probably not going to turn them into a premiership threat immediately, but it's a good step along the way. you know, they need some depth in their forwards. They've been building their squad, and I don't know how much more money they have left, but they're starting to chip away with a couple more signings like this now. So
looks like it's better than signing another utility, mate.
They don't need any more of those, that's for sure. But it looks like the Bulldogs have a plan, and they're chipping away at it. And I'm really interested to see how they go this year, because they're a funny one. I think they'll be a hard team to pick this year. We'll take a half a season before you get a gauge of if they've improved or not, or more of the same.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll go on to injuries. There were a couple from Las Vegas, but Manly, Jason Saab tweaked his hamstring, and they reckon at least he'll miss round two. I think this is probably the benefit of having that extra break they get because of the Las Vegas games. And Ruben Garrick from Manly also suffered an ankle sprain and could miss a few weeks depending on the severity. I couldn't see any updates from Manly yet, but you could softly pencil them in maybe for round two. Brendan Bacora from the Broncos left the field early in Vegas and failed an HIA. Horrible to see that happen to him. Even worse because he's in my fantasy team. So I got the big donut, Richie, for him. But yeah, they think he should be fine for round two due to that extended break. Then Murata Niokore from the Warriors fractured his foot and is going to be out for an undisclosed period of time right now. They haven't given us a date, which is, they kept it kind of under the radar. Apparently he did it in the second trial. I didn't hear about it until I saw his name wasn't announced yesterday in the team naming. And then Elliot Whitehead from the Raiders injured his calf and is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks. So some big ones there. Manly need Jason and Ruben back. For round two, definitely. Broncos need Pakura too, because they kind of let all their edges go. So they need him. And yeah, Nakora, I think, is going to be a key figure in this bench rotation for the Warriors. So we need him back as soon as possible. Jacko said he read somewhere he'll be out to round four or five. So yeah, okay. He's kind of penciled in for the same time of return date as Chances.
Yeah, not ideal with Murata. What we saw from him in that second trial had me very excited what was to come for him. So that's a big bummer from a Warriors fan point of view. But yeah, Manly's not ideal for Manly either. I thought their backline looked really sharp on the weekend, and we'll get to that. But yeah, that's two of their the strike weapons out wide there. So hopefully for Manly's sake that they come right pretty quickly.
Yeah, definitely. And then last segment before we get into the games is Naughty Boy Corner. We've got two. So Reece Walsh from the Broncos, he's been charged with a grade one shoulder charge. It's a $3,000 fine. Or if he decides to contest it, it could be extended to a two-game ban. Because they're not doing judiciary till next Tuesday, we haven't had a decision from him yet. I assume he's going to plead guilty and just pay the fine. What do you reckon? Do you think it was a shoulder charge? I know we talked about it with Ruin Hammer while the game was on, but
yeah. I mean, by the book, it's definitely a shoulder charge. He didn't try and get into a position to wrap arms. He just ran in with his shoulder to bump him out. And I've heard the other arguments from people like Billy Slater defending it, saying, what are you meant to do in that situation? But I don't know if that gets you off any punishment, because if you go in by the book, he committed an offence and was penalised on the field. So I think he will plead guilty and take the lesser charge. He's probably smart. That's the smart route for him to go.
Yeah. So as I said to you and Ruin Hammer in our chat, Reece Walsh had some time learning from a fullback that was kind of the master of what to do in that situation, which it's a bit disappointing with Billy saying, like, what should you do in that situation? Because Billy, is a renowned fullback, but he was also known for sliding feet first into people to stop tries. So Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was kind of the master at stopping people in that corner without using a shoulder. He focused more on the ball carrying hand. You know, if you lose contact with the ball, you can't score. You don't need to try to knock them out with the shoulder. And saying that as a prop, I thought that shoulder was fine.
I mean, Brad, you asked us 5 years ago, we're probably saying great hit.
I still think it was a great hit.
So, it was a good hit. I mean, you know, prior to the rule changing and shoulder charges being allowed, we used to cheer that stuff. So you got to look at it from that side of things as well.
Yeah, and Jacko asked, how did Reese not get 10 in the bin for that shoulder charge? It's because it's Reese. You don't do that to the poster child. So
it's Reese. If it was Niokore, like you said, Jacko, probably getting 4 weeks.
The NRL is racist. The last one was Spencer Lenu from the Roosters for the alleged racial slur, sent straight to judiciary. We'll talk about that on Wednesday because Tuesday night they will have his court session, which I'm sure is going to be an interesting night. I'll keep an eye on the minute-by-minute updates that the NRL love to give us. And, Rue has said, you can't rob the fans. Exactly. It hurts the fans if Reese isn't out there. So we'll move on to Las Vegas games. Our first reviews for the year, mate.
Nice.
So first up, we had Seagulls defending the Rabbits.
It's nice to actually bother to watch these games, boys, unlike the preseason games. But there we go. It's always good.
We watched the preseason games. We just didn't watch all of them. So Seagulls defeating the Rabbitohs 36-24. Do you want to give us a rundown of the tries, Matt?
Yeah, for sure. So in this one, it was 6-5. For Manly, we had Haumole Olokowatu, Jason Saab, Lachlan Croker, Ben Trbojevic, Ruben Garrick, and Brooksy. Brooksy on his Manly debut. Five for the Rabbitohs, Richie Kenner with two, Jacob Gagai on debut, Latrell Mitchell and AJ Alex Johnston, our leading try scorer tip. So plenty more of that, please, AJ.
For me, for Seagulls, it was a great game to kick off the season. Manly just kept the pressure on South and waited for them to buckle. The combination of DCE and Brooks shows a lot of promise, surprisingly for me. And Turbo looked dangerous once again. It kind of looked like the old Turbo in moments. I thought it was a surprising win. It wasn't one I predicted. Seagulls looked a lot more on the ball than I think many expected. But what's your takes on Manly?
Yeah, I thought they look a much improved side compared to the 2023 version. The ingredients there look promising if they can all stay fit. Luke Brooks looked a good addition to the spine. He looked to complement the other guys there. Turbo looking properly fit again, in my opinion. Not the version we saw of him early last year, sort of hobbling and not at full speed before being injured for the rest of the season again. But he was looking really good. And little brother Ben, I thought he looked quite threatening out there too. I think Schuster will have to be working hard to regain his spot. No more chicken pox and whatever else he was battling. So
I think mumps is next on the list that he's got to go through.
Yeah.
You got something to say, Paul?
Yeah, I was going to say, look, also in conversions, 6-6 from the Eagles, only 2-5 from Rabbitohs. And that's only one try difference, but it's a two score difference because of those missed kicks, which you've got to. You can't allow that. Can't allow the game to get away from you like that.
Yeah, the problem was Latrell spent all week in Las Vegas wearing a 20-pound gallon cowboy hat, so I think his balance was a bit off. So when he was doing those conversions, he couldn't really get his balance in tune. Your thoughts on the Rabbits, Richie?
The Rabbits had their moments as well. They weren't all bad. I think the game sort of went to and fro for a long period there, and their biggest gun, Latrell, he it wasn't all good. He threw an intercept to Saab, and like you say, the goal kicking, Paul, the goal kicking from him wasn't good. But I think he showed some signs. He's up for it this year. He scored a try and a couple of nice try assists. The one to the young Gagai bullet pass. It was beautiful. So I think if he gets it right this year, he's up for a big one. But the loss of Campbell Graham's a big one for them. Their centres looked exposed defensively by Manly's backs. So Jack Wyden coming back, I think, should help them there. So it's not all bad. I think they can still be quite threatening this year. It's just, weren't quite there. They only had moments. They didn't put it all together.
Yeah, the Rabbits came into this match as favourites and started the game that way, I thought. But as it developed, as I said about Manly putting pressure on them, they let their frustrations get the best of them. It's kind of that always talked about rule. If you get under Cody Walker's skin, the Rabbitohs are toast. That kind of happened here. You got a bit of the red mist again. And then once that happens, like Paul's just put up the discipline. Yeah, it was a 1-5 Rabbits penalty. So, yeah, that was, you know, how many of those were because of Cody? I don't think that many, but I'll blame him.
But the other side that jumps out is 3-0 interceptions as well. If you look after your own ball.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, that was an ongoing thing I talked about last year, Paul, was a lot of their forced errors or unforced errors was leading the Rabbitohs down. Add on that, I think Jacko mentioned their defense. They just didn't look like they were positioned right. I don't know if the narrower field was getting in their head. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's probably the worst start they could imagine, because I think I talked to you, Richie, the next couple of weeks they've got some big boppers they've got to play. So getting a win in round one was kind of really crucial to getting their season on track. There's a chance they could have, you know, two or three losses in the first couple of weeks, which is not really the way they want to go.
Well, no, but they were first after 10 rounds last year, and then...
then it all went to crap, yeah.
They might be going for the opposite this year.
Yeah. Your player that stood out, I think we picked the same guy. A guy I never thought would make this list.
No, Luke Brooks. I had to go with Brooksy. There were a lot of people that really played well for Manly in particular, but, I think he must be pretty happy to get out of the Tigers' colours, because he looked like he's having fun there, and with Turbo and DCE there, he's not the main guy on the big bucks like he was at the Tigers. He can just play his natural, instinctual game, which is, I think, where Luke Brooks shines. And, long overdue him leaving. And I think it might be a good fit.
Yeah, he just looked like all the pressure was off him and he got to play free. I think there was a moment during the game, I think it was after DCE did that brain explosion, where I said, at this point right now, Luke Brooks is the better half performance-wise out of him and DCE. And like Jacko said, obviously Brooks is a 6, not a 7. Yeah, I think he kind of always looked like a 6, like the rather than your traditional 7. But I think on Ruin Hammer's prediction show, I said Luke Brooks would once again miss out on finals. That could still be the case, but if the Seagulls play like this each week, a top 8's definitely right up there for them to take. So we'll move on to the last game of the Las Vegas experiment. Roosters defeating the Broncos 20-10.
Yeah, and this one was 3-2. Another close one. Joey Manu, Ponga, and Victor Radley for the Roosters. Dean Mariner and Reese Walsh for the Broncos.
Yeah, Roosters came to play and put on a clinic, in my opinion. They attacked almost at will with James Tedesco winding back the clock. Their forwards got in the wars early and won the battle fairly easy. And it was hard to pick faults with them, to be honest. It was a very dangerous-looking side. But your thoughts on the Roosters?
This was more the type of Roosters I expected last year. Their big players, Teddy, Joey Manu, Victor Radley, even the young buck coming through, Terrell May. I think he's an awesome prop, which you must be a fan of him, Brad. But they're looking on song right off the bat. This is how I would expect a team this strong on paper to perform. I thought it was a good performance to knock off one of last year's grand finalists. In front of an international audience, a big game overseas in round one. So, and traditionally they're pretty slow starters the last few years, the Roosters. So they'll be chuffed to get that one.
Yeah, definitely. Now, your thoughts on the Broncos?
I was expecting a little more from them. I tipped them as my minor premiership winner last in our prediction show. So. But it looked like there might be a little adjustment to life after Flegler, Capewell, and Herbie Farnworth. Losing Piacora to a head knock didn't help them either. But I still think there's a lot of class in the team, and they'll come good before long. Maybe the narrow field, not really playing in someone like Walsh's hands. You know, he thrives in those wide channels, and a lot of their game flows off him, but I'm never upset when the Broncos lose. Not a chance of that. Yeah.
No. For me, the Broncos look way off the mark. I kind of expected what we saw from them in the finals last year to kind of flow on. But their attack was flat. They had a few moments of individual brilliance, keeping them in the hunt, you know, kind of relying on Walsh to do his thing to keep them around. But yeah, it's early days, obviously. But perhaps the loss of, as you said, Capewell, Farnworth, and Flegler is going to be bigger than they assumed. You know, you don't win the premiership in round one, obviously. So Jacko said that Walters didn't look a happy chappy after game. He actually looked slightly shocked. Yeah, I think they were bamboozled, to be honest. And that may have been part of the problem. I think maybe they went over going, you know, we're technically ladder-wise, we're the best team in Vegas. So easy win.
Simon's pretty much said exactly what I said during our chat, Brad. The only downside to the Broncos not winning is the Roosters won instead. Yeah, yeah. I was saying to the boys during the game, Brad, and the Ruin Hammer boys, it's tough actually wanting the Roosters to win a game. I don't like either of those teams.
Yeah, and we went with different players that stood out. So I'll let you go with yours first.
Yeah, I saw Brad was going to pick a guy that he tipped to lose his rep jersey. So nice to see him doing a 180.
Spoilers there.
I went with Victor Radley. I thought Victor Radley looked like classic Victor Radley. Hungry, big workload, heavy shots, ball playing, and scored a nice try as well. So I thought it was the sort of complete Victor Radley package minus the brain snaps and sin bins. That performance is what you want to see out of him.
Yeah, if he rides that line of aggression and smarts, he's always a dangerous player. But yeah, I went with James Tedesco again, and two games in a row I picked a player I never thought. I said it, this year, said it last year, I said James needs to just hang it up. You know, when you're getting out-jumped by props for bombs, as a fullback, you need to hang it up. But he did. He looked 5 years younger in this game.
He
was elusive with the ball in hand. He was not just running for himself. You know, he set up that try for Victor.
Maybe
he just had a really good off season, or maybe he listened to Madge McGuire when Madge said he doesn't care who you are, he's going to pick the best New South Wales team. You know, it doesn't matter how many times he's done it before. So maybe he realized he doesn't have a free pass in Origin anymore. And it's given him some incentive to up his game. But yeah, very impressed with what he did. As long as that doesn't happen in a couple of weeks when they play the Warriors, be happy. So that was our games, two of them. It's a lot easier when you have to only review two games instead of eight, Richie.
It really is.
Normally at this time of the show, we'd bring up the ladder, but I didn't feel like we needed to with two games. I guess I think it's Roosters at the top, Sea Eagles second.
Other way around, Sea Eagles at the top, Roosters second.
I'm not here for my mess.
With Broncos 16 and Rabbitohs 17. Jeez, I thought you'd be putting the table out there just to see that.
No, but at least we can say that at the end of round one, the Tigers will be higher on the ladder than the Broncos with their 2 points from the bye.
So somehow Tigers are third in the ladder.
That's because they got the bye, so they get the 2 points.
That's that's right, exactly. Yes, that's what. Stop the season now.
Yeah. So and then after we do the ladder, we would talk about our tips. Only been two games so far, but I decided to bring up. I gave Paul a screenshot of the tipping competition that everyone that was able to jump in jumped in on. We got 14 of us, including Richard and myself. Only six people have actually got a game right so far. So it's not a great start. And nobody got both. So Richard and I are both 11th and 12th. Simon is 9th.
I want to know why am I listed below you?
I don't know how any of that's worked. I think it might be, I don't know. It could be, I think there's a game with margin. And depending on what margin you put.
So instead of saying you 11, me 12, we could just say no particular order. There we are.
If that makes your ego feel a bit better, Richie. Simon said that's why we need a round 18 team to make sure to even up the competition. Yeah, I think once they got that, so we don't have a team on bye every week, it will make things a bit better. And yeah, Simon said the first game has a margin in it. Which I got wrong anyway. I think I picked them by 10. So there's 14 there. Guy currently leading at the moment, some of you may remember from years ago, is Jono from formerly from the podcast of you from the East End. He jumped in and joined. Hopefully by the end of the round, we're further up the ladder, Richie. But yeah, next week we'll probably go through it a bit better once we've actually got all eight picks selected. So looking forward to that for next week. So we may as well move into questions. I think we kind of answered all the questions from the group, didn't we, Paul?
Yeah, I've not spotted any questions in the group. Sorry. Yep. Yeah,
it's kind of our MO right now. We just answer them as we go. But that's why we got ours. Do you want to go with yours first, Richie?
Yeah, why not? So my question to you, with the injury to Neokore, do you agree with Webby's forward pack and bench selections this week, or would you have gone another way to cover that injury?
No, I probably would have gone with what he's done with the injury to Neokore. I did my season preview that came out on Monday, and I picked my round one team. And I got 1-13 right, which I think everyone that's a Warriors fan would have picked. But my bench, I went with Dylan Walker, Jazz, Tom Ali, and Murata. But I did say in there, if they want to give Egan some minutes off the pitch, swap Jazz and Lusick. But I was still wrong because I only had Tom and I didn't have Bunty. I didn't know the injury, obviously, but they're playing Morata as a middle, and the best two middles that weren't in there are Bunty and Tom. So it makes sense to – one was always going to be there, I think. So bringing the other one in to replace Morata seemed like the right thing to do. But what about you?
I can't argue, and I won't argue. You know, it's in Webby we trust, as they say. I think he's gone the logical way with the injury to Neokore, you know, picking Tom and Bunty there as the middles. I see some people saying, you know, Jazz, unlucky for Jazz, he's been mainstay in our team for a few years now. But, I wouldn't have argued if Jazz was selected and either Bunty or Tom wasn't. But I'm happy enough with what Webby's gone with.
Yeah, I know Paul will dislike it, but I was on a show with Warriors NRL fanatics last week, I talked about that with Jazz. Jazz didn't have the best trial against the Dolphins, but you know what you're going to get from Jazz. There's some ups and downs, but he's always going to give you 100%. So I didn't see it as a knock if he was selected. Not being selected, you know, it's just going to, you know, up him. He's gonna want to, you know, improve tenfold and get back into that side as soon as possible. So I'll go with my question before we talk about the team.
Simon's got the question here, and he's asked you, should they rotate the US cities around, or should they have it in LA every year? Which way do you think? Think it's good to build a fan base in one city, or try and spread it around a bit?
I think they should stay in Vegas. Americans aren't the brightest historically. So I think moving it around won't help. And Las Vegas is kind of a hub where a lot of people will travel to. So I'm happy with it there. I think if they moved around too much, it would dilute what they're trying to do. It's not big enough to be able to take it like on a tour and go like a different state every year. So stick in Vegas for me personally.
No chance of the standoff expanding into the US market then. Brad just said they're not the brightest.
I was going to say, how to alienate a portion of our audience and remove half of our potential sponsors.
I've said worse about players that we talk about, so it's fine. And
players aren't sponsors though, but anyway, go on.
No. Sorry, I love Americans. I'm fine. Sorry.
I'm happy enough for it to stay in Vegas and build on what they've done this year. I thought the product was really good, and I'd like to see it again next year, trying to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, and Simon made a good point. Americans are asleep right now. Yeah, so shut up, Paul. Leave me alone.
Quick one for me, guys. Which stat do you think? Because I'm going to be throwing up stats over in the live chat. Which stat do you predict is going to be the most telling stat? Which team will win for games throughout the season?
The scoreboard.
Oh, yeah. Just Richie, stop it!
Yeah, that is always the biggest indicator for winner and loser, Paul. I think for me personally, I think if you look at the Panthers model, defense. It's the cliche. Defense wins championships. Yeah. So I think missed tackles is a bit misleading. I'll go with missed tackles. But some teams like the Panthers can always miss a stack of tackles, but they stop all the scoring opportunities. So I don't know if we can pull up a scoring opportunity stat, but it's something like that.
Different models work well for different teams too. Like you'd think of the Panthers as an efficient team who have a high completion rate. And you look at the Broncos, who probably don't have a very high completion rate, but they strike at any time, and that won them a lot of games last year. So, yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. I'm going to go with dummy passes, boys, and both of them. The team that threw the fewest dummy passes won. The Roosters threw one dummy pass to 11 by the Broncos. And the Sea Eagles threw 7 to 15 by the Rosos. So, yeah, don't try dummy passes. Actually try and play rather than trying to fake play. So I'll be keeping an eye on dummy passes for the rest of the season, or at least until it's all unproved very much wrong.
I don't even know if I can do a dummy. So my question, I know it's early days, but out of the four teams we watched in Vegas, which one do you think is the biggest premiership contender right now?
I'm going to say the Broncos, and the biggest premiership contender right now is a bit... premierships aren't run one after round one. We saw last year the Broncos beat the Panthers in round one, and then come grand final day, they reversed that. So I still think the Broncos have, I think they're the biggest threat to take out the comp, you know, obviously other than the Panthers.
You're dreaming, mate, you're dreaming.
But in saying that, Manly looked really good. I didn't tip them for my eight, but the way they played, I think I'd see them as a top eight team. And the Roosters did me dirty last year. I picked them as the team to win it, and they nearly missed the eight. So they looked impressive, but I still think, for me, it's still the Broncos.
I'm going with the Roosters because of the Sturlo curse. You were all behind the Roosters last year. They capitulated. You're kind of behind the Broncos now, so they're going to capitulate.
Hey, if I jinx the Broncos, then I'm a happy man.
Yeah. So going off the off round one, you know, that opinion could completely change depending on what happens to the Roosters and the Broncos next week. You know, so
not even going off round one. Going off round one, going off two games from round one. Not even full round of the games. We've already decided who isn't going to make it.
You're only as good as your last, as I have been known to say from time to time. So, So we'll move on to the rest of the round. So we'll start with the Warriors Sharks lineups before we go into the fixtures. So, as always, you give us the Warriors team, and I'll do my best to pronounce the Sharks team.
Get the Waz, thank you. Fullback Tantua Piki, the wings Dallin Watene Zelezniak, Marcelo Montoya, the centres Rocco Berry and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, the halves Luka Metcalf and Sean Johnson, the forward pack Anfernor Blake, Wade Egan, Mitch Barnett, Jackson Ford, Kurt Capewa and Tohu Harris, the interchange bench Freddie Lussick, Tom Ale, Bunty Arfor, Dylan Walker.
Yeah, you're happy with that team?
I am, yeah. Good team. I mean, obviously, Neokore not being there is a bit of a downer, but given that he's injured, I think that's as good as we can throw up. Other than Chance being fit, but I think Tane is a very able replacement.
Yeah, I'm more than happy. I think that's probably the best team you can do right now with injuries. Simon, there's two mentions. Simon and Jacko have made it, but Simon said Warriors Sharks, the first game on Friday night live NRL on Sky Open. It's a good opening game. Hopefully the free-to-air coverage brings a bit more fans to competition. 100% there. And yeah, Jacko said Lussick's named at 14 Webs this season, more than just a backup for Egan. Yeah, he did actually make a comment earlier as well saying that Webster rates Lussick highly, unlike Warriors fans. I actually talked about that on the show I did last week, where I compared Lussick and Egan, saying, you know, two or three seasons ago, a lot of people were really down on Egan, saying, like, we need to get any other hooker we can because Egan's rubbish. And, you know, you fast forward to now and fans are saying, you know, Egan, if he keeps playing the way he is, he could play Origin. Lussick's very young in his game and is still learning. So a lot of the people that are a bit rough on him were the same when Egan was that, you know, that level of inexperience. I think Lussick's going to be a hell of a talent given time, and giving him bits and pieces, I think, here is going to do a lot more for his development than being a 80-minute hooker in New South Wales Cup. So, and Egan, I think there was a stat from NRL Physio on Twitter today that Wade Egan had the most HIAs in 2023 of any player. So they need to protect him because Lussick isn't at that level yet to replace Egan. So if Egan, you know, takes one bop on the head too many, you could be in a lot of trouble. So doing maybe a 60-20 split or something could really help out. You know, you think you bring Lussick on, who's really fit, quite nimble against some tiring middles, he could cause some trouble. He's not afraid of contact, so he'll go out there and get hard out too. So I think he's well deserved of that spot.
And if he did, it
helps rather than having like a Dylan Walker or a Jazz at hooker if Egan goes off for an HIA.
Yeah, exactly right. Wade Egan's no stranger to the concussion protocols. So, you know, he picks up a concussion that rules him out for a game. Freddie's the guy, isn't he? So having him coming in and playing NRL level, I think it's going to have him sort of more ready to go. So, I'm good with it.
But yeah, long story short, give him time and he'll have those fans eating their words. I'm more than confident. So we'll go on to the Sharks team. I delayed it enough because I was looking at some of the names I can't pronounce. But fullback, we've got William Kennedy. On the wings, we've got Sione Katoa and Ronaldo Mulitalo. In the centres, we've got Jesse Ramian and Siusifa Talakai. Halves, we've got Braden Trindle and Nicholas Hines. Front row, we've got Oregon Kafusi, Blake Braley, and Royce Hunt. Second row is Bryden Nakora and Teague Wilton. 13 is Cameron McInnes. And then on the bench, we've got Dale Finucane, Jack Williams, Toddy Rudolph, and Thomas Hazelton. What's your thoughts on the Sharks team?
It's a strong team. Very similar to the one we beat twice last year as well. So hoping we keep that trend going. But yeah, I mean, it's a strong lineup, and I expect it to be a competitive game. I'm hoping we blow them away, but I'm expecting it to be competitive and
like 40-10, easy.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But I we're definitely going to have to be on our game to see them off.
Yeah. I'm going with that. I think it will be a tight game, but I'm going with the Warriors in that one. I assume you were too.
Yes, yeah, I did.
Yeah. And before we move on to the rest of the draw, Stace made a comment saying like Egan's HIAs could be detrimental for him and the Warriors. He's one of the few that isn't a fan of him. While Mehdi praises him, it feels he's missing a kick game. His no-look passes at times can be a liability. The biggest issue I have is when we first signed him, I talked him up about his kicking game because playing reserve gate for Panthers, he actually had a really good kicking game. And he seemed to have put that in the background. I don't know if that's because he's been told to, going like, we've got Sean in that for that. You just focus on the other stuff. The no-look passes, at times I think they look amazing. Other times I'm pulling my hair out. I think last year he kind of pulled them in a bit, though. But, yeah, I understand his divisiveness at times. But, yeah, hopefully they've done – I don't know how you fix HIAs to try to prevent them from the future. I don't know. Maybe
– You can't maybe. Really, can you?
No, look, it's tackle technique and carrying technique, right? It's about knowing how to position your body. Don't put your head in the wrong place. If you can put your head in the right place – you're not going to get hit so often. So it's a matter of, it's about tackle technique and carrying technique around that one.
Just get tougher. Just be
tougher. No, that's not how concussions work. No. That's absolute bullshit comment there from Brad.
I never got a concussion. I'm tough as.
As you got no brains.
Exactly. Well, that's the other option. But yeah, hopefully they've done something with his. I know it doesn't help that he's stuck out in the middle tackling some big boppers.
That's just the fact of the matter. He's a small body out in the middle, and some of it might have been tackling technique, but he's also copped a lot of unlucky ones, and he's just in a area of the pitch where there's a lot of attrition, and he's not the biggest lad going around. So it's a tough one, but you just sometimes it's a bit of luck. You know, he's hopefully the big boys out there can protect him a little bit.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying you can miss, you can avoid all of them, but if it becomes a kind of a systemic thing, or you see it a lot, then there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, and Jacko said Sharkies have big middles and bench. The forward battle will be good, and expect Hines and Nakora to attack the left side all game. Yeah, it's going to be a really good forward battle, I think, and Hines is always dangerous when you give him a chance. So it's just up to the Warriors forwards to front up. I'm expecting a lot out of Adam this year. And I'm expecting a big game out of him against the team that he's going to be joining next year. So I'm expecting a big one. And Ben said, wasn't there a magic doctor in Fiji?
There was. We should send Niokore to see that doctor.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll go on to the rest of the round if you can bring up the image for the fixtures, Paul. So only six games left. We've already talked about the Warriors game, but Thursday we've got the Knights and Raiders. I went with the Knights here. It was almost, it's hard to tell with both of these teams, but I think Newcastle's hard to beat. So I had to go with hometown advantage.
Yeah, likewise.
Then Friday, we already talked about it. Warriors Sharks kick off Friday night. We both pick Warriors. Next game, probably one of the most anticipated games of the round that are left, Storm versus Panthers. I've actually gone Storm here, Richie. Panthers, I'm just going off last year where the Panthers were a bit of a slow starter after the World Club Challenge. So I've just gone with Storm on that and that alone. What about you?
I was tempted by that. The Panthers started slow last year, but no, I'll go the other way, Brad. We need a couple different picks, so I'll
go. At the moment, I just want a pick that's right.
Yes,
I'll take anything.
I'll go the three-time champions in that one.
Okay, that's a safe bet. Then next up, we have Eels Doggies. I've gone with the Eels. I'm just not convinced on the Dogs.
Me too. I went Eels, but I'm not convinced on that pick. You know, I think it might be a close game, but I'm going to stick with the Eels.
Yeah, and then Titans Dragons.
Oh, I know who you picked.
I've gone with Titans because I don't pick the Dragons.
Yeah, I went Titans.
You went Titans as well.
Yeah.
And then the last game is Dolphins Cowboys. I've gone with Cowboys. I'm expecting Dolphins, I think, will be better. But I think the Cowboys have got something to prove after their fall from grace last year. So I'm expecting them out big.
Yeah, me too. Exactly for the same reasons. Dolphins aren't catching anybody by surprise to start the season this year. And I think Cowboys, I can see them. I picked them in the top eight again this year. So I think they're going to have a bit of a bounce back this year. And it starts in round one.
Yeah. And, we've got heaps of people mentioning who they're picking. Thankfully, because of the tipping comp, I don't have to write down Simon's picks anymore. But, yeah, it's good to see we've got a few differences there, which will either help us out against Simon or get him ahead of us early on.
So on the five that you've gone the same with, we've obviously gone with the multi again with $2 on there. $2 will return $13.33. And those five are all favourites, so we haven't got a hope in hell. Let's be blunt.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be like last week's multi where it was over in the first game.
After last year, I just can't believe you've not gone with Dolphins early doors. Until the Dolphins pick up some injuries, they're going to look like champions. And then when they pick up a few injuries,
they picked up
second half of the season, where they're going to fade.
Yeah, they've already got a season-ending injury, Paul. They're in trouble. That is the round, which means we're almost at the end. We're going to quickly talk about Super League, which means Jacko's going to disappear in a cloud of smoke. So cheers for joining us, Jacko. But Super League's already been underway. They just finished round three. So I've got the results. I was meant to grab the ladder, but I didn't grab it in time. I think St. Helens is still at the top of the ladder and Wigan are not far behind. I think they're the only two teams that have not lost yet. Wigan are a game behind because of the World Club Challenge, though. But Wigan defeated Uddersfield 30-16. St. Helens defeated Lee 12-4. Warrington defeated Castleford 30-8. Leeds defeated Catalans 18-10. Salford defeated Hull KR 17-10, and then Hull FC defeated London 28-24. So it looks like London as the team that got brought up. So at least they look a bit more competitive. And yeah, Jacko said Super League was dying. have fun. Yeah, we're still going to give the results. And yeah, Simon said Super League will not be available on Sky TV this year, but it's on its own streaming service, which means watching these games is going to be a bit harder, Richie. But yeah, Paul's done some research for us since I didn't, saying that Lee, Leopards, Castleford Tigers and London Broncos are the only teams yet to win a game. And Simon said London were very unlucky and London's likely to be relegated due to not meeting all the criteria with the new system. Yeah, so they just got promoted and now they're probably going to get relegated anyway. Super League is a mess. I'm very happy that we don't have our show based all on that. But yeah, round four coming up. We've got Hull KR versus Warrington, St. Helens versus Salford, Castleford versus Uddersfield, Lee versus Leeds, London versus Wigan, which could be a bloodbath, and Catalans versus Hull FC. So not really any games that scream out as a must-watch, in my opinion, in that round. But hopefully there's some good games. I'll look into seeing how I can watch Super League games without paying money.
Hey, you can stream them.
Yeah. But yeah, anything else you guys want to add before we let everyone go on their way? Simon's got something first. A simple way of saying that the new system unfortunately does favour the existing clubs and clubs that have been in the competition the last 3 years. Yeah. Simon says, we're an eye patch. I think it's called piracy.
That's quality.
So anything else you want to add, Richie or Paul?
Thanks for everyone jumping on and having a chat with us. Only a couple nights to go up the wires.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to the game, so I'm very happy to be there. If you are going to the game, there is a little bar next door called Lily World that I've been told I have to go to catch up with people. So if you're going, go to Lily World before the game, and if you see me, come say hi. But yeah, thank you for joining us tonight on the Send Off with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune into the show at 8 p.m. next week, or at your own convenience on iHeartRadio or Spotify. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Thanks for joining me again, Richie, and cheers for all your help in the background, Paul, and good night, everyone.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.